Welcome, sports fans, to the hottest sports podcast in the game, JT and the Don, with your hosts, Jimmy Thompson and Donato Bucci. They're covering the most current issues in sports from the 305 to the 412 and all the way to the West Coast. You can follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at JT and the Don, or email them at jtandthedon@gmail.com. Now take it away, guys.
This is JT and the Don podcast. We are coming to you on tape delay from our studios in the 305 and the nation's capital. I am Donato Bucci, the Don. In addition to our social media handles, please subscribe to us on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the iHeartRadio app. And if you like what we do, please give us a five-star review. So no further delay, let me welcome in everyone's favorite, Jimmy Thompson.
We were on delay, though.
Right, we are on tape delay. I mean, you and I are live, but for the fans, you know, they're not able to call in or anything. So
I hear you. What's going on, man? I didn't know we had two studios, but I know if we did, you definitely closed the one in D.C. and come back to Miami. So
of course we got two studios. You live in Miami. I live in D.C., I mean, how else are we going to do this show together?
Does DC count as a studio, though? That's more like a little satellite office. It's like a work desk, like a workspace. So
our main headquarters are in Miami, is what you're saying?
Always, right next to Uncle Luke.
Work hard, play hard.
I like it. What we got?
Man, we got a lot today, so let's get to it. Don't give me any of your long-winded answers, all right, bro?
Just don't talk about Dave Gettleman or any other trigger things.
Any of the other two? You've got a total of three.
Yeah, two. Two or three things you know what not to talk about.
Who is it? Gettleman, Kerr, and Aaron Rodgers?
There we go. Just don't talk about those three, and we'll be right on time.
We might be okay with that today. We'll see. Well, let's start with a quarterback, though. Not Aaron Rodgers, but Dak Prescott. Reportedly, Dak has turned down a contract worth about $30 million a year from the Cowboys. And reportedly, again, because there's conflicting reports on all accounts, that he's demanding $40 million annually. So, JT, if it is true that he's demanding $40 million, is he worth it?
Man, first of all, who cares? Dak, go get your money. But before I get into my answer, I just want to say I really have an issue with the way this whole contract negotiation situation has been reported, because I feel like the Cowboys have been low-key trying to sabotage him into taking a hometown discount. But like, when they say, oh, he turned down an offer around $30 million per season, like, what's around $30 million per season? Is it $30 million or is it like $25 million per season? So the fact that they're not being specific on the numbers kind of bothers me. And to answer your question, I don't know if Dak is technically worth $40 million per year, but if that's the going rate for a quarterback, then yeah, you have to pay him, just because just look at what your team looks like when he's not there. I know everybody says, you know, Zeke is the engine that makes it go. Yes, but I mean, could you have Quincy Carter back there, or Chad Hutchinson, or Drew Henson giving the ball to Zeke and then making the playoffs and winning the division? I don't think so. And then also, too, I feel like the Cowboys are really taking for granted some of the stuff that Dak really does well. One, he's healthy and always available. You can count on that. And also, he's a winner. So just look at, since he came into the league in 2016, he's got the third most wins by a quarterback. And he's only behind Brady and Ben. And he has the fourth highest winning percentage of any quarterback in the league since he's come in 2016. Also, too, he does things that you can't coach. Like I said, he's healthy, he's smart, and he's also accurate. What is he, like a 66 career completion percentage passer? So the tools are there for him to make noise. And I feel like he's getting a bad rap because the team is constructed around Zeke's talent. And that's not his fault. And I mean, it's not like when Amari Cooper, they traded for him and he came to Dallas. It's not like Dak didn't flash. Like, oh, he has potential to put up some big games. And couple that with, let's be honest, the Cowboys haven't exactly had like an offensive genius calling their plays since he came into the league. So you look at guys that he's being compared to, like Carson Wentz. they got one of the best offensive minds in the league coaching their games. Sean McVay and Goff with the Rams, everybody's anointing him as the next Vince Lombardi. And then, you know, there's other quarterbacks that are getting contracts that nobody's batting an eye at, but they also have the coaching to go along with it. And then to talk about the guys who are in his own class, take a look at Wentz. Wentz had one stretch, not even a whole season, one stretch where he was an MVP candidate. And then that, you know, netted him a 4-year, $128 million, $107 million guaranteed, goddamn. And he doesn't even stay healthy. So if we're going to be paying guys off of, oh, you were an MVP candidate, like, think about all the guys that have been MVP candidates at one point. Derek Carr was MVP candidate. Like, how's that worked out for the Raiders paying him all that money? So I just really feel like Dak's getting a bad rap. And just look at, and I'll let you go, just look at the quarterbacks that have been paid that I agree shouldn't maybe not have been paid this much, but there was no uproar of them getting all this money at the time they signed their contracts. So, you know, I'm going right to Brock Osweiler. 4 years, $72 million when he signed with Houston. Yeah, how'd that work out? Matt Flynn got paid $27 million off of one game in week 17 that nobody cared about. Mike Glennon, 3 years, $45 million. What do you got? $18.5 million for four starts in 2017 with the Bears. Kirk Cousins, that fully guaranteed $84 million contract. How many playoff games did he win in Washington? And I just mentioned Derek Carr, 5 years, $125 million. And even Charlie Whitehurst, clipboard Jesus, got a 2-year, $8 million deal to be a backup in 2014. So nobody batted an eye when these guys got their deals. So I don't understand what the big deal is with Dak getting market value at $40 million per year.
Well, I guess anytime you throw in Charlie Whitehurst, I mean, I don't know how I'd be that.
I mean,
that,
seriously,
but
he got it in 2014 when they weren't even paying backups that much. He got a 2-year, $8 million deal.
Well, I mean, that is only $4 million. We're talking 40 here. Well, let me address two things. First, you swore twice, so let's throw that to the potty mouth jar. I think you're up to $6 now.
Hey, after the guys are on the last show, I don't think you can ever complain about me cussing.
Yeah, but you're on this show every time, so I'm allowed to. Now, the Cowboys, let me address one thing you mentioned. The Cowboys, I don't think they're sabotaging this. They actually sabotaged themselves this past year because they kept pumping up Dak and how good he is. So they're only doing this to themselves that they've increased his worth. Now, I don't think he's worth the $40 million that you're mentioning, but I think he's around $30 to $32 million a year because I think he gets that Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz deal. Now, with that said, I would pay him about $30, $32 million because I'm a little tainted when it comes to quarterbacks because we, as a Steeler fan, we've had Ben Roethlisberger so long, so we've kind of taken that for granted. But before Ben, from like 98 to like 2002, we only made the playoffs like one out of those 4 years. And it was because we did not have good quarterback play. You got to have a strong quarterback, not always an elite, but a very good one. And I think Dak can get to that based on everything you said. High completion percentage. He threw for over 3,800 yards, which was 15th in yards. He was ahead of guys like Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Cam Newton, all guys that make a lot of money. I just mentioned Carson Wentz, $32 million. You know, Stafford, he's up there as well. So I think Dak should get paid, not 40, but he should get paid. Plus, in the end, if you pay him about, even if you pay him $35 million, he would only be worth about 18% of the cap. And the cap keeps going up. So in 3 years, it would look really good. The only other thing I would say is, though, don't pay him now. You only owe him $2 million this year.
Let him play out the contract.
Franchise tag him next year. That would be $26 million. So you'd have him this year and next year for a total of $28 million. And then if he balls out in those 2 years, then you pay him the $35 million a year. So they could wait on this. So I don't know why they're rushing it right away, but I still think he's worth between $30 to $35 million to answer your question, but they don't need to rush it.
But this is what I don't understand, and you make a good point. Why the hell does Dak have to wait? Like, all the guys that I listed didn't have to wait. Like, Wentz hasn't done nearly what Dak has done within just comparing those two. He hasn't won like Dak has won. He didn't even have to wait, and he hasn't even been healthy. He hasn't completed a season. Last year, I felt like he was very uneven. He had some good games, But outside of that one MVP stretch, like what?
Yeah.
About Carson Wentz says he deserves that money?
Let me give you two reasons real quick, and then we can wrap it up. One is that
the arm talent. I get that.
Well, no. I'm not even going there because I like what Dak brings to the table. I would like if Ben retired.
Take him on the Dolphins right now.
Exactly. I would say if Ben retired today and we brought in Dak, I'd be happy. But one is that they have contract situations with Amari Cooper and Zeke. So that is why I think they could table Dak Prescott. And two, the other reason why Wentz and Stafford got their money with extensions earlier, remember, those guys were first-round picks, so they weren't making only $2 million. Their salary was already high, so for them to bump it up an extra $5, $6 million at the time, even though Wentz is much higher now, but it wasn't as big of a difference for those teams because those guys already made high signing bonuses and first-round money. Dak was not a first-rounder.
Man, before we go, if I were the Cowboys, I'd lock up Zeke and Dak, and Amari would be the odd man out because he's the guy that I don't trust.
You know, I'm not a huge Amari fan, but you know how I feel about running backs and them getting paid. So we won't bring that up again.
Zeke is different. Anyway, I know you want to tag him until he dies. So
let's
stick with the NFL. Your boy Antonio Brown, who's now in the Oakland Raiders, making offseason waves from
AB.
From his frostbitten foot to his NFL lawsuit for his helmet change. So with all this drama, and I'm pretty sure much more is going to come out once Hard Knocks actually comes on. So my question to you is AB proven that the Raiders made a bad move by signing him to this major deal?
Man, I'm so happy the drama is out of Pittsburgh. You know, one of the best boxers. Well, he's getting a little bit older, but Triple G, Gennady Golovkin.
Yo, you love Triple G, seriously.
The big drama show is what he would always say. This is Antonio Brown, the big drama show, man. Yes, this is proving it was a bad move by the Raiders. The dude has not been in camp. He can't build any chemistry with Derek Carr or Gruden or the team. And to be honest, like, I think this shows that maybe Tomlin did do a great job last year of managing the situation and the season. And maybe Ben purposely called out AB a couple times because he was maybe sick of all this big drama show as well and wanted AB out. So, but in all honesty, I think that I'm somewhat a little concerned about AB's mental health because don't forget, he settled a lawsuit where he threw furniture off a balcony down to a pool, supposedly, almost struck a child. And now there's another report which you failed to mention. He's being sued by the quote-unquote sports chef, Stefano Tedeschi.
Why'd you do that long pause? Yeah, he's Italian, so what? Who cares?
I wanted you to make sure you heard the name. This is maddening. The Raiders are already a dysfunctional organization moving to Vegas, and this makes it even more complicated. Gruden cannot be happy. Neither can Mike Mayock. Two true football guys, they are not happy, bro.
Well, that's what you get for hiring Mike Mayock in the first place.
Oh, man. He's a good evaluator. He knows what he's doing. The problem is Gruden has the last set. Okay,
on
you're right.
TV.
On TV, he...
No, obviously, I mean, it's concerning that AB is already causing problems this early on. But I'm going to say no just for the simple fact that if anybody can handle the drama that AB brings, because you're... Yes, he brings drama, but let's not forget he's wildly talented. Gruden can handle this drama because Gruden's the only person that's probably a bigger drama queen than AB in the league. And also, I think the reason why it's a good fit that he's not in Pittsburgh anymore is because his personality outgrew the Steelers brand. So I think it was right for them to part ways when they did at that time. But let's not act like AB is just going to Oakland and pulling a Jamarcus Russell where he's just not coming to practice. He's at the club blowing all his new money. Like, no, AB is still one of the hardest workers in the league. He's putting in the time in the offseason. He's showing it on Instagram. At least from what we see, he's working hard. And I think this is, in my mind, I think this is all just a smokescreen. Because I think the whole thing with, like, the helmet is a ridiculous, like, outburst to take away from what's going on with his foot. Because he hasn't been able to really practice. He hasn't been able to show people, like, hey, I got this big new deal. I'm still AB. He hasn't really been able to show that because his foot got messed up by the cryotherapy incident. So I feel like because he probably worked so hard, like he was probably trying to push the limits by staying in that cryotherapy chamber too long, wasn't wearing the right footwear, got his foot messed up. So I think he's just trying to divert from that until he can fully get healthy and get back on the field and ball out and show that, you know, he's still the same guy. But I like your point about you're worried about him. I am worried about him for the simple fact that if he doesn't ball out this year and this trend continues, I'm really worried for when he goes to Vegas, because you don't start with problems and have a problematic attitude and then go to Vegas all of a sudden just turn into a choir boy. Like, that's not going to work. So that's the only thing that I worry about.
Well, I mean, it's tough to work hard, though, when you've got frostbitten feet. And it's a fact that he has not been in camp. So that definitely has got to hurt them. And he's been spending his money on hot air balloons, unlike Jamarcus Russell. But still, I mean, I think eventually his production goes down. And then what happens with the drama show? You know, I'm not saying this year, but in 2-3 years, I don't know. But it's got to be – it's a headache already for the Raiders. There's no doubt.
All right, staying with football, let's go to your favorite quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, who just signed an extension with the Patriots. But there are reports that this could be his final season in the NFL. Donato, do you believe that this is Brady's last run?
No. Next topic. What a ridiculous question, man.
You acting like the man's never going to fall off a cliff. I mean, if he doesn't start slowing down this year or next year, they're going to have to drug test him. I'm sorry. This is not normal.
No, there's a couple reasons for it. All right, let me go through them real quick for you so we can just move on from this topic of the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Don't get mad because Ben hasn't aged gracefully.
He led the league in passing yards last year.
He also
led
him in interceptions too, right?
Because of Antonio Brown feeding him the ball.
Ben's getting older.
He threw for over 5,000 yards. How is he declining? That's ridiculous. Anyway, let focus on the topic. So, Kraft will never let that happen, and it's not like Tom Brady's going to go somewhere else, but the most important thing here is, because the two-year extension he reportedly signed was basically to give him more money this season, and he can't be franchise-tagged next season, and in addition, if he would retire, the Patriots would take a cap hit, which would be dead cap money, of $13.5 million, whether Brady goes somewhere else or retires. That is the main reason right there that Brady will not retire, and he's already said he's going to play till 45. He's a man of his word. I'm truly convinced he wants to play till 45, and those are the two reasons why he will not retire or go elsewhere. $13.5 million cap hit for the Patriots if he retires or goes somewhere else. And Brady's playing till the age of 45. And he also said on WEEI on the Greg Hill show that New England is the team he wants to be with and a part of. So go ahead, JT. Done.
Ooh, okay, what other team would he want to be a part of? I want to leave this team that's winning a Super Bowl every other year to be a part of the Jets. Like, no, like he has to say that. Like, that's what it is. I will say this. I was really close to saying this is going to be his last season, but you make a good point with the cap space and the dead money. But I think all bets are off, and I think this is a contingency plan that the Patriots have in place. If they win another Super Bowl this year, I think there's an 85% chance that he's going to walk away and ride off into the sunset. And it's just because, other than that whole money situation, everything that he's done for the past few years just feels like a Dwayne Wade farewell tour. Like, it just really does. Like, he's doing that Tom versus Time documentary, which nobody asked for, but he did it anyway. He's not really pushing for these longer extensions. They're really essentially like one-year deals that don't leave the Patriots in a lame duck situation. And the older he gets, he's continually hinting at retirement. Like, I remember at one point, Ben Roethlisberger would be like, oh, I'm retiring every year. Like, Tom Brady's doing these, like, passive-aggressive PSAs in the offseason saying, like, you know, hey, you know, Giselle's asking me to come home. I might retire. So he's shown some signs that he and Giselle are getting closer to being on the same page, where maybe, like, 4 years ago, I thought Giselle was just like, look, Tom, you got to hang this shit up and come home. He's like, nah, baby, I got a couple more rings to win. I can play. I think they're starting to get on the same page. And didn't they just put their house in Boston on the market, which kind of started this whole thing of, oh, is he going to retire? I think he's getting ready for exit strategy. He's getting ready to hang it up. He's getting ready to move out of Boston, probably down here to Florida. But you do make a good argument with that money situation. But I think it really depends on if he wins the Super Bowl or not.
Well, you make a great point there. I mean, I was considering all things even though nowadays in Patriots land, all things even means they win a Super Bowl. But you're right. I think if he does win a Super Bowl, that would be, what, 3 years in a row? That's tough not to leave on such a high, right?
Yeah, but nobody would ever be able to top that.
Right, but he is such a competitor. I wonder if he's like, you know what? I think we can run it back a fourth time, man. Let's do it.
if he crushes the Steelers to get to the Super Bowl and they win, oh, he's for sure retiring.
Why you got to put the Steelers in there? He could
say because you guys are good. Ben is the league leader in passing yards. You'll probably play them in the AFC Championship game.
I would. Hey, if someone said sign me up for that right now, we'll take our chances. I would say sign us up for that.
Sign up for another beatdown from the Patriots. All right.
Whoa. Anyway, you swore again in that segment. You're up to $7. All right. So, whatever. Are you done with Tom Brady finally?
Hey, that's your boy.
That's not my boy. I don't know why you keep saying that. So let's switch to a little bit of basketball. All right. Let's give a little breather from the football. The NCAA passed a new basketball agent rule, which has been dubbed the Rich Paul rule. Now, it's been revised since the original rule was put in recently. So the original rule was that part of its certification process for agents, representing basketball players who are deciding whether to stay in school or explore the NBA draft required a bachelor's degree, which Rich Paul does not have. And Rich Paul, if you don't know who he is, the childhood friend and agent of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, among other great NBA players.
Clutch Sports.
That's right. So now, JT, they've removed the bachelor degree requirement after a lot of backlash the NCAA took. So, again, these are not senior players. These are the guys that come out after their freshman, sophomore, junior year. These are usually the guys that are, you know,
one and dones.
Exactly. Going in the top five, top 10, because you don't see that too often with seniors anymore. So, JT, my question to you is, and I know you've been waiting to talk about this one.
Why do you always do that? No, you wanted to talk about this.
Because
is your
during
topic.
The production meetings, you get topic. Hyped. I can hear it in your voice in the production meetings. JT, was this really targeting Rich Paul only, meaning the rule about having a bachelor's degree, or was it a preventative measure against future quote-unquote Rich Pauls?
Well, I think this was targeted a few different things, and I think this is, in a nutshell, this is the NBA and the NCAA having their last grasp at control, which is ultimately going to be stripped away from them because this system is going to be circumnavigated by guys like Rich Paul and LeBron James. So, of course, they backtracked on the bachelor degree thing because that just kind of really put the true meaning of their plan out in public. Okay, if they have to have a bachelor's degree, why is that important? I don't have to have a bachelor's degree to go play basketball. I don't have to have a bachelor's degree to know how to represent and get somebody money. That's irrelevant. So, I think this move was made and ultimately to keep exclusivity among the agent fraternity. So, those guys who have, you know, gone through the ranks to become agents, so like your Drew Rosenhauses, your Borises, like those guys had to work, get to the top. They've had to kind of work hand in hand with those leagues that they actually represent clients in, and a partnership has formed. So, for instance, let's say Drew Rosenhaus, I'm pretty sure he has a great relationship with NFL owners. They're on the same page of, hey, you help me with your client, I'll help you on the back end, and that's how business is done. So you get people like Rich Paul and LeBron James who, one, have no past stake in relationships with any of these teams. If it's LeBron James's friend, chances are he's going to be negotiating things on behalf of things that are going to be player friendly. So I think that what's going on is also, too, let's just be honest, the people and the players who are ultimately going to be affected by this won't be the players that Clutch Sports are looking at initially early on. So I don't think it affects him at all in regards to that. But like I said before, I just think that the owners and investors that invest in NBA teams, they just see the landscape change that's about to come. So like player deals, revenue discussions, any contract negotiations, they're going to be made by guys, like I said, who aren't former staff members, who don't have relationships with these sports or NBA owners. They're going to be making those deals strictly for the benefit of the players. And you got to think about it this way, too. Like, let's take somebody like Kevin Durant. If you were Kevin Durant's best friend, why do you need a degree to be an agent? Like, because I know Kevin Durant, I'm instantly going to have access and credibility among the top players in the league, and they're all going to want me to represent them. So that's essentially why, like, when Jay-Z started Roc Nation, like, that was such a big deal, and they kind of tried to censor him, is because these are, let's be honest, these are young, black, about to be millionaires. Who are they going to look up to? Oh, Jay-Z. Every one of them probably looks up to Jay-Z. Of course they're going to want to be represented by Jay-Z. And guess what? Jay-Z doesn't have to pay his dues and go through that whole situation of working his way up to be an agent. He doesn't have to, you know, go through the bullshit of starting with little clients and then working his way up. He could just walk right into the top players in the NBA or the NFL and say, hey, look, I'm Jay-Z. I'm a billion-dollar brand. You want to be represented by me or not? Hell yeah, I know who you are. I want to work with you. So that's essentially going to get rid of, you know, your Rosenhauses and your Borises down the line. And then also, too, I think what's ultimately going to happen is guys like Rich Paul are going to evolve to making, you know, decisions regarding CBAs and things like that. So this is ultimately just going to be less and less power for the guys in ownership and investors in the NBA and more power for the players, which I think LeBron is all about. And, you know, just to kind of wrap it up, I think this is just a final shot at fighting the inevitable of that old, like, too long lasting establishment of certain people being in charge. That day is over. And I think guys like LeBron and his friends are taking over, and I think it's going to be good for sports.
So there's a couple, I guess, things to this, but one of the things, I guess, that irritates me the most about it is that would this have been such a big deal and have taken so much backlash if Rich Paul was not LeBron James's friend and agent?
Well, the thing with that is, that's actually a really good question. So I guess the first part would be, he wasn't LeBron James' friend, would he be Rich Paul?
Well, no. But this is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there's probably other people, other agents out there that have the requirements of Rich Paul that represent players right now, meaning they don't have bachelor degrees, correct? So let's say I am representing a sophomore that was taken in the second round this year. I'm Donato Bucci. Even though I have a bachelor's degree, let's hypothetically.
Do you really, though?
I don't know. I don't know anymore in this day and age.
That's questionable.
So let's say I don't have a bachelor's degree. Then would anyone care? Like, would anyone care about this rule? You know, if LeBron James's agent had a bachelor's degree, would LeBron still be on social media advocating as much as he did? Would anyone care about the Jimmy Thompson or Donato Bucci agent that's representing the second round sophomore?
Well, I think it has more to do with the fact that it's obvious LeBron, during probably the past decade of his career, has been just pushing the envelope as far as what players can control. And Rich Paul has kind of ridden that wave. So they see what's coming. Like, LeBron is setting the precedent for these guys to see how it's done. This is the blueprint. And the more of you guys that I can get into the league and representing these players and you guys teaming up with the players that have, they ultimately have the power, this is going to make it just more player friendly and we're going to have more power than the owners. So, I think it's because of LeBron.
And listen, I'm never opposed to the players being able to dictate where they play, how much they make, and having more power than they currently have. And you know that. But this is something different. This has to do with agents. The reason why they initially put this rule in was that some of those basketball guys, I don't know if you've heard, some of the underclassmen who declared for the draft and then saw their prospects of second round and not drafted at all, tried to go back to college, they were ruled ineligible because the agent messed up with the paperwork. And this is why they want those agents to have to go through this certification process, including a bachelor's degree. Because nowadays, a bachelor's degree is almost the basic. It's like a high school degree of 30 years ago, 40 years ago.
Yeah, you can get it online anywhere.
Well, exactly. So they want at least that basic requirement so that players can feel comfortable. Hey, you know, this person has gone through the necessary steps – to at least try to understand a lot of the business side of things. But the one thing a bachelor's degree doesn't provide is ethics, right? Like, you could go get a bachelor's degree and not be ethical at all. So putting the bachelor's degree in that rule for what has been happening with the agents not being ethical and possibly stealing money, having a bachelor's degree is not going to stop that. So if that was your purpose, yeah, the bachelor's requirement is not necessary. And at the end of the day, for an agent, it's not about a bachelor's degree. It's like a CPA, right? It's for an agent, it's not like a CPA, right? CPA needs to go take those classes. For an agent, it's like you said, it's about connections.
It's a relationship business.
Yeah, getting the client. And then nothing in school is going to prepare you on how to be an agent.
Like, whether having a bachelor's is not going to prepare me on how to be Kevin Durant's best friend. I just am. He's going to teach me the ropes.
Not only that, that's the getting the clients part. But even once you're in the grind of it, negotiating, talking with teams, doing marketing deals, how to think outside the box on social media, that stuff, you don't learn that in school. You don't learn that in school
but,
at all.
But also too, I think another thing that you're doing that I think a lot of people do is that, why are we overcomplicating being an agent? Because you're assuming, let's say,
but that's what I'm saying. That's why you don't need a bachelor's degree to be an agent.
I agree with you from this perspective as well. Is that okay? If I'm the agent for LeBron James, it's not like I have to go out there and hustle to get deals done. You're basically fielding offers, and you choose which one's the best one to work with. Like, you don't have to do anything. Like, if I'm LeBron James or Kevin Durant's agent, my phone is blowing up. I'm not out there trying to hustle, trying to get him a deal. So everybody wants to work with you. You just sit back and pick the best one and you move on.
But see, this is the problem. And that's why we keep focusing on LeBron. It's not about the LeBrons and the Kevin Durants.
It's about
the guys being drafted late first round, early second round that may not make it out of camp. They may not make it out of the summer league. You have to have the agent that knows what to do, and it doesn't always require a bachelor's degree.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
Okay. All right. Finally agree on some little part of it.
He's going to be running the league in 3 years anyway. So let's go back to football and your favorite team from Washington.
Wait, no. Still a Steeler fan. What? Quit making up lies, bro.
All right. So there's drama going on as usual with the Washington Redskins this offseason. Their best player and multiple Pro Bowler, left tackle Trent Williams, this offseason had a non-cancerous tumor removed from his brain, and it was reported that it was a minor cleanup procedure. Williams, of course, is in the news for being unhappy with both his contract situation and with how the Redskins team doctors handled his medical situation. He's currently holding out from the offseason program, and he has demanded a trade. So my question to you is, even if Williams receives a brand new contract, do you think he should still play for the Redskins?
Well, it depends on how much and what other offers he is, or what other options he has. I mean, if it's
they're also blocking him from being traded, so they're not listening to trade offers too.
Right. That's the thing. I mean, he has to either be traded or released. If they do neither one of those, if he wants to make money, he has to show up. If he wants to play out his contract and become a free agent, he's got to show up. So that's why I say it depends on how much that contract is, because his other options are limited right now. But I will say that sometimes money can't fix things like trust. So if I'm Trent Williams and, you know, this is the way they acted on something that could have been life or death, I'm really concerned, because a sports injury is one thing. Maybe they try to rush you back or get you the fastest way back on the field,
RG3.
Which is wrong as well. But we've all seen the series Playmakers. We know that goes on. I know you love that series.
No, I actually, you know what?
You've never seen it?
I saw like one episode, and I'm trying to find somewhere to download it so I can watch it. But I need to watch Playmakers.
I think you would like it.
I heard it's pretty crazy.
It is. It is good stuff, man.
I can't believe that was on ESPN at one point.
I know.
that was before Disney bought them.
Yeah, true. So when it comes to non-football health, I mean, this does not make the Skins look good at all. I mean, like, what are they doing? I mean, again, if that's the way they're treating a life or death, possible life or death situation of Trent Williams, and he's the superstar, best player on the team, can you imagine how they're treating the practice squad player or the 53rd man on the roster? I mean, I'd be concerned. So, again, if they're throwing the whole house at me, all right, yeah, I'll show up. I'll take the new contract. But they better be pulling up the Brinks truck for Trent Williams now. And last thing on that, we've seen it with Kawhi. Like, things are changing. Things are changing with the player health. It's just as important now as money. And last thing, it goes to show you why the Skins have not won a Super Bowl in over 25 years. I mean, the way they're treating Trent Williams with a tumor on his scalp, I mean, that's crazy to me. That's showing the dysfunction of that organization, too, on why they've been out of the Super Bowl for almost three decades now.
No, yeah, you make good points. But can we put this out there that let's not be naive and overlook the fact that, yes, this is obviously a serious situation, but this is a ploy to either get out of town to get a new contract. So I'm not going to, you know, act like I don't see him trying to use his leverage to get more money. But I do think this is a very serious situation. And like you said, money can't buy trust. And I disagree. I don't care how much they offer him. If he can get out of Washington, he should leave. Absolutely not. He should not come back.
And sorry to interrupt you, but that's the thing. I don't know what – he doesn't have many other options because he's got a contract.
I'd force a trade, hold out, whatever you do. Because if you become disgruntled enough in today's league, they'll make a move to get you out of town. And like you said, he doesn't trust management, and he doesn't trust the medical staff. So that relationship is not repairable. It's broken. He's not coming. He's not going to want to come back. And let's say that, because obviously Washington denied the report that they were negligent in, you know, diagnosing it and handling it. If they were wrong and he's correct in that they just didn't take care of this in the right way, they not only jeopardized his livelihood, but they jeopardized his life. And let's not act like the Redskins haven't been a toxic organization for years. And it's just another person in a long line of people who don't want to be there. And they don't want to be there because Dan Snyder's the owner and also Bruce Allen's there. Those are the two worst people in sports to work for. In fact, I was reading somewhere where they were saying that I think over 40 employees have left the Redskins organization since December. Like, just imagine 40 people in 6 months have not been fired, not transferred. They're just like, look, we're out. Like, they don't want to work there anymore. They're not even on the field killing themselves. Like, they just don't want to be in the building because those two assholes are upstairs making the decisions. So this is just all around bad. And I think the thing that I took from this story the most was this just shows what we already know. Dan Snyder is by far the worst owner in sports. And it's not because he doesn't try. It's because he just has zero self-awareness. Dan Snyder, as the owner, you're saying that you're willing to lose the best player you have. And he's a damn good one, too. Like, if he leaves that team, I pray for whoever is the quarterback back there, because I think Eric Flowers is the next left tackle that's up. Yeah, they'll be in the hospital with Alex Smith because they're not going to make it. So Snyder is willing to get rid of his best player in order to keep Bruce Allen, and not only him, but a training staff that is under review right now for not being able to do their job. Just let that sink in, that he's willing to hold on to these idiots instead of the actual players that are making him money. So if I were Williams, I wouldn't fault him one bit. He just needs to do what he can to get the hell out of Dodge, because this is a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, that well put. But still, bro, how old is he now? I mean, if they do give a long-term lot of guaranteed money, it's still going to be hard to pass up.
He can go to a contender right now, sign a four-year deal. He'll be good for about 2.5 of those years, and he'll make a difference.
But, bro, if the Skins don't get enough in return, the Skins hold the leverage right now. So if they don't get enough in return, why would you trade Trent Williams, the best left tackle in the game?
I'm not saying from the Washington perspective it's smart to trade him, but if I were him, I'm speaking strictly for him. Like, I'm doing whatever I can to get the hell out of there.
Of course, but what I'm saying is he doesn't hold that power. The Redskins still hold it because of the contract he currently has.
Well, we'll see what happens. Sticking with the NFL, let's switch gears to somebody who I don't think should be able to do what he wants. that's your boy, Josh Gordon. So Gordon,
again,
of course,
why are these guys? Why are all the Patriots boys?
You love Josh Gordon.
Oh,
so everybody knows that Gordon has had well-documented battles with substance abuse and NFL suspensions. And this offseason, he's currently applying for reinstatement for the upcoming season. Reports are actually shocking that he has a good chance to be reinstated by the NFL. So my question to you is, with his well-documented past, should he be given another chance and reinstated?
So real quick, before I do answer that, the appeal now is now solely in the hands of Roger Goodell. So he holds the fate.
Oh, he's in, man. Goodell loves Gordon. I don't know. He must have some photos or some information about his mama or something. If it's up to Goodell, Gordon getting back in.
And he was previously suspended in 2015 and 2016, then reinstated in 2017. So to answer your question, yes, he should be reinstated. It seems to have been that it was the recreational drug of marijuana that he possibly failed the test for with the substance abuse. And the NFL is getting a lot more lenient in terms of the long-term suspensions with marijuana, because I think they're starting to realize whether they're just making this a reason, but a lot of NFL players are smoking it for the possible health benefits of it based on the healing process of the body and anxiety. So what they could do instead of a long-term or instead of an indefinite suspension and never allowing him to play again, listen, you got to turn your life around. Every time you fail the test, it's either 8 games or a whole year. He keeps doing that, one of two things will happen. He either turns his life around in terms of not failing the drug test and can get back on the NFL track, or every year he gets suspended, he gets a year older, teams aren't going to deal with it because they can't rely on him. The greatest ability is availability. His career will be over. So
That's why Dak's getting $40 million right there. Thank you.
You're putting it in his hands if you reinstate him at least. But you got to start to put more structure to the suspension so they know, hey, every time you fail, bam, 1 year or 8 games, whatever it may be, instead of just an indefinite suspension, because teams might be like, oh, he might come back in 2 months. Let's sign him again. You keep doing 1 year after another, younger guys come in the league, Josh Gordon will be out. So you're putting it in his hands if you reinstate him, giving him another chance. And let's admit it, at least this is not assault and battery, domestic violence. We're dealing with someone who has a real issue in terms of recreational drugs or maybe even alcohol. These are things that we can help, the NFL can help him with, and the teams, in particular the Patriots, if they truly care about him.
Yeah, but let's not act like, let's just take it to a personal level. If I work somewhere and I failed drug testing the policies of that job for 7 straight years, they ain't exactly going to be working to keep me around.
Right, so. But two things. Well, I'll say one thing. I've told you from the get-go in one of the previous episodes, let's all admit it, let's face it, sports are different. We allow certain things to be different than the real world.
No, agreed. I was just trying to make that analogy, because here's the thing. From a personal perspective, I do feel sorry for him, because I watched that story that he did about, you know, his documented drug use from high school through college to the NFL, basically how he was just pushed through the system and nobody cared because the guy can show up and play. So I do feel sorry for him in that respect. But, I mean, absolutely not. He shouldn't be reinstated. So I'm glad you brought up his suspension track record. So I just want to add on this. 2 games that he missed in 2013. I think he missed 10 games in 2014. And like you said, he missed 2 entire seasons. And then he played last year and then stepped away. He self-imposed, suspended himself because he knew that he failed another drug test. So my thing is, just the optics look bad because he's failed to follow the rules this many times when nobody in any profession, whether it's sports or the real world, will get this many chances, no matter how talented they were. And yet he still gets pushed through the system and they still keep giving him chance after chance. Like, how many times does he have to do this before we realize he's not going to change? And I understand, I get the whole thing with marijuana. I think it shouldn't be illegal. I don't think it should be illegal, especially in football. When it comes to pain management, those guys are under enough stress. They need it, you know, to cope, deal with pain. I 100% agree. And I think you're right. The NFL is changing their stance on that. But I feel like this just shows that there's a larger problem, that the NFL is too inconsistent with its punishment. There's no way. Like, this is ridiculous. Just think about it. A guy fails drug tests multiple times. He's suspended basically every damn year, and he still gets another shot. Like, I feel like if he gets reinstated, the NFLPA is going to have to dismantle their, like, the personal conduct and substance abuse policy deal with the NFL. Like, they're going to have to rip that up, because if I'm an NFL player and Josh Gordon gets another shot, there's no way I'm not going to be able to file a grievance to say, hey, look, Gordon's been smoking weed and doing drugs for damn near a decade and getting in the league. Like, why are you suspending me? You know what I mean? For taking some substance I didn't know because I was trying to have a baby. So I think they're setting a very dangerous precedent. They're going to have to, and maybe it's a good thing that they're going to have to, like I said, rework the language of that those conduct policies. I think maybe that's the conversation that's going to be pushed to the forefront with this. But I think there's also another side to this that the NFL won't talk about, but I feel like they kind of feel guilty in a way with somebody like Josh Gordon, because he's obviously like a poster child favorite for them. I think he is getting breaks because he started doing this when he was in Cleveland, just admitting that he did something wrong before the test results come out. So saying like, hey, I'm stepping away from the game to take care of my mental health. I'm getting these urges again. I want to step away before the failed drug test even like hits the news. And then there's like backlash and they have to suspend him. So I think the fact that he's been preemptive and stepping out in front of it has helped him gain more chances of getting reinstated into the league. And then also, I think the NFL as a brand kind of feels a little guilty because, like I said, he's the poster child for the dark side of why this league and this business is successful. And it's because they don't care about their employees. They use and abuse them. As long as you're talented, they're going to push you through the system. They're going to push you through the machine. They're going to prop you up. If it's not weed, they're drugging you up with other things so that you can play and make more money for them. So the fact that this is what's been going on, not just in the NFL, but in sports for years, for decades, and now it's manifested itself in the public way with Josh Gordon. Everybody can see, damn, this is what professional sports can do to a guy, and it's not necessarily his fault. I think this is why he keeps getting second chances, because the NFL wants to have a good look of, hey, look, we might be creating this monster with the machine, but look, we're supporting him and we're helping him through this process and we care. So I think it's a little bit of those two things of why he will get reinstated and why he continues to get chance after chance.
Yeah, true there. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens on that front as well. We'll see if Goodell makes a decision sooner rather.
You said Goodell.
Goodell.
That's what you guys call me for the Fantasy Football League, man. Mike called me that the other day.
Oh, my goodness. Mike, for people at home, Mike is JT's cousin. I don't know why Mike would call you that. That's ridiculous. Anyway, let's go to the quick hitter segment. JT, you failed to do your job again. Still no sponsor, but that's okay. We still all love you. First topic, real quick.
Our boys at Bad Medicine said we had Home Depot. I don't know what happened with that.
You never followed up. You were supposed to respond to their email. You never followed up. So the New York Mets have won, as the time of this recording, have won 15 of their last 19 games. They are now only 3 games behind the Cubs for the second wild card. JT, are the Mets for real?
Hard to say they're for real. I mean, they got some young talent. Obviously, Alonso is headlining that. But it's hard to say that they're for real when they've basically been beating up on sub-500 teams. Like, I think they have like a 66 win percentage against the teams that are under 500 during that run. So if they continue to play sorry teams and they continue to stay hot, then yeah, I guess they're quote-unquote for real, but I don't think they are.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. So I don't think they're for real either, and it's basically what you said. They've got, coming up, they've got the Indians, the Braves, the Cubs, the Phillies, the Nats, the Dodgers, the Braves again, Arizona. These are all teams with either in front of them in the standings or better records. So that's a really tough schedule down the stretch. And, you know, bringing in a guy like Marcus Stroman, that helps, but that doesn't put them over the top. So I don't think they're for real either. Next topic, fans, soccer fans, in Korea are suing the match organizer called the FASTA Inc. for the game that they organized between Juventus, the Italian soccer powerhouse, and
why are you pumping your fist? We because
that's
care.
My team, bro. That's my team.
We don't
that's,
care.
That's my team, bro. Versus the K-League All-Stars. Because Juventus did not play Ronaldo, so fans are suing. Do you agree with the fans, JT?
No, I don't. I understand why they're upset, but I don't agree with them suing. So just because it sounded like a scam when I was reading the information. First of all, I know you probably don't know what I'm going to be talking about, but I feel like this is like when club promoters try to, you know, get people hyped up to go to a club, and they give out those flyers, and they always got like that hot chick on there. And, you know, people look at the flyer like, oh, like that's the chick that's going to be at the club. Like, no, she's not going to be there. She's just trying to get you to go to the club. Hopefully you see that picture and you'll go. But, you know, I read a little bit into this. So there's two things that were kind of messed up. And it's messed up, but they really shouldn't be able to sue. The promoter guaranteed that Ronaldo would play at least 45 minutes in the game. And then also Ronaldo was supposed to do an autograph signing. But he said that he wasn't doing the signing. I think their flight was delayed at like 3 hours or something like that. And he was saying he wasn't going to do the signing because he was focusing on preparing for the game. So I feel like this just sounds like he was making the trip so that people would buy the tickets for $100 or $200. And then he was never going to play. So I don't think they should be able to sue. You guys just got scammed. Sorry.
Well, I think part of it was like fans, part of the lawsuit was fans are suing for mental anguish. What? Like what mental anguish of not seeing Ronaldo play?
That would be, oh God, that's ridiculous. The girl on the flyer wasn't at the club. I'm so distraught.
It seems like that's happened to you before, bro.
Hell no. I seen people on the street where they get those flyers. They're like, damn, she's fine. I was like, you know, she's not going to be there, right?
So normally, well, there's a couple things. In defense of Juventus, who supposedly is not being sued here, it's the match organizer, Juventus did say that Ronaldo was, you know, somewhat fatigued and tired because they had played like 2 days before. So if I'm Juventus, I'm not playing him and risking that injury. Now, normally I would say no, fans should not sue because did you buy a ticket to the game? Yes. Did Juventus play the K-League All-Stars? Yes. What are you complaining about? They finished the game. Done. But the only thing,
we can't sue LeBron when he doesn't suit up.
Exactly. But the only thing here is that if the match organizer did advertise that he would play and play at least 45 minutes, then that's false advertising. Someone's got to be held accountable for that.
They would have a more compelling case if he didn't make the trip, but he was there.
That's not the thing. The thing is, if in the advertisement they're saying, come watch Ronaldo play, we're guaranteeing he's going to play. That's different. That's a guarantee. That I'd have to go back and look through my contract law book, but I think at least there's maybe a leg to stand on there because was part of the advertisement.
You're ridiculous. My contract law book just proves that soccer is the sleaziest sport in the world. Anyway,
oh come on, go on.
That was supposed to be quick. So let's go to your. Let's
you
go to
take
your boy.
Forever on let's this. Go to you your, take let's forever.
Go let's go to your boy Tim Tebow. Who,
again, why is he my boy? We got to put something in our contract that you can't just randomly shout out your boy.
All right, let's go to Tim Tebow, who just had his season ended by injury in Double-A baseball. Tebow has obviously been a popular minor league player but hasn't made it to the majors as of yet. My question to you is, how much longer is this experiment going to last before he gives up baseball?
Well, I think as far as making the majors, it's probably over. Only 4 homers, 19 RBIs, especially Major League Baseball going to a 26-man roster next year.
There we go.
Next year with only 28-man roster in September next year. But as far as him just continuing to play ball, bro, he's a gamer. You know he's going to play. He's going to play.
You sound like Skip Bayless right now.
He's going to play until he literally can't play anymore or some other better opportunity comes up, because it's tough to give that sort of life and dream up. And I think he's starting to realize he won't make the majors, but as long as he still loves to play the game, he's going to keep going at it.
I think his baseball career is over. I mean, it's a great story that he tried, but he hasn't improved. He's always getting injured. And like you said, he's clearly not going to make the majors. I feel like his all-time legacy is above this. This is ridiculous. He should quit before he's remembered as like a minor league sideshow who's like going around to these small towns just so people can see him. This is ridiculous. Just give it up. Go back to broadcasting. There's more constructive things he can do with his time.
Well, he's still going to do that, but as far as the commentating, or broadcasting. But are you saying he won't play another minor league game ever again?
I feel like he should be done.
You feel that way, but what do you think he's going to do? Will he ever play another minor league baseball game?
I don't know. Divine Intervention will probably let him come back.
All right, next topic.
All right, so let's go to college football where Georgia Southern University starting quarterback, I hope I'm saying his name right, Shai Wertz was arrested on July 31st. He was charged with speeding and misdemeanor cocaine possession. Funny thing about this is Wertz initially claimed it was bird poop instead of cocaine. His story was confirmed when the police video footage was released detailing the conversation between him and the cops. Also, Wertz was drug tested by the school and a third party, which he passed that drug test. So this is a crazy story. I just want your quick thoughts on this.
Well, you're leaving out one other part because I have so many questions here. But one other part you did leave out, the initial test that they did on the scene, because they later found out it was bird poop after, you know, I guess it went back to the lab. But at the scene, they did, I guess, I don't know, they must do an instant coke test or something. It showed it was positive for cocaine at the scene.
That's crazy.
That's why they, yeah. How is that possible? Like, that's why they didn't believe him. But I will say this about I think you got it right, Shai Wertz. He handled himself, if you look in the video, like unbelievable, especially for a young kid getting arrested. So he appears to be a good leader for the team. Now, he was speeding at 80 miles per hour. He avoided the cops. He avoided the cops, called 911 as he was avoiding them, saying, hey, I'm going to a more well-lit place to pull over. So, you know, he was thinking clearly. The speeding part, you know, is kind of an issue. Hopefully he fixes that. But, you know, maybe at some point what we can discuss, JT, and it's not a quick hitter, we can discuss how false allegations by victims or incorrect charges can hurt players and their future, sometimes for a lifetime.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree with you 100%. I think the bigger story here is how he handled himself, and he made it out of that situation okay, and he was calm, composed, and even throughout the whole process, he was really mature. But, I mean, obviously, this is ridiculous. I don't know what was dumber. The fact that the cops seem to be trying to confuse bird poop with coke, or knowing that you're trying to confuse bird poop with coke and that it's on camera. So this was just a shit show, sorry. And I'm not saying they
should be fine. Another fine.
I'm not saying they should be fired, but something's got to be done. He'll probably sue. Kind of to what you were saying, I'm not saying he has an NFL career, but if he did, they definitely jeopardized it with the story. But yeah, it's ridiculous.
And when I say false allegations by victims, just to clear it up, JT, obviously there's been a lot in the media lately where athletes, players, celebrities have done things wrong, and it's been proven. So,
Brian Banks.
You know, it's not to take away from the true victims.
No, agreed. On to the next one. Boogie Cousins is in the news. He just tore his ACL. Oh, that's rough. So I just want to know, do you feel bad for Boogie after his latest injury, which seems it just keeps getting worse?
Yeah, of course. I've been through an ACL injury myself, so I know the process, the long road he has ahead of him. But also just to see how hard he worked to get back last year after a torn Achilles, to come back during the season, then to have another injury in the playoffs, then to come back from that. I mean, he really seems to love the game and want to go at it and work hard, and to keep seeing these major injuries. It's not like an ankle sprain, JT, or like, you know.
Like these are like athletic altering injuries.
Exactly. So I feel for him, and we'll see. Hopefully he can come back. I don't know if he'll ever be the same though, unfortunately.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. He literally had two of the worst injuries you can have in any sport, the Achilles and the ACL. And I feel like he maybe shouldn't have come back so soon in the playoffs, because I remember when he had that quad injury, they showed him walking to the locker room, and I was like, there's no way he's going to play. He came back. I don't know how, and I think that probably has something to do with, you know, why he's hurt. He probably hasn't been resting. And another thing I heard, I haven't been able to like actually confirm it. I heard this happened during pickup basketball, so I'm not sure about that. If that's the case, I don't feel bad for him because you know you're already on, you know, you're already on thin ice anyway. You should be getting all the rest you can because you know you're getting ready to play a season to try to convince people to give you a max deal. But, I mean, in the scheme of things, yeah, this is just a terrible break for him.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And listen, that shows the love of the game. If it's pickup basketball, which I don't agree with, if you're an NBA player, if you're JT and myself, yeah, hey, you know, let's go get a run in. But, I mean, coming back from injury, it does show the love of the game he has, though. Yeah, yeah, millions on the line, though. Tame that love just a little bit. So, those are the quick hitters, JT.
They weren't so quick, but we'll work on that.
They were. We'll work on that. Our favorite segment and everyone else's favorite segment, Surprise JT.
Why are we still doing this?
Because it's great. We get your unbiased opinion here.
There's only one person smiling about this, but go ahead.
You love it. If not, you would have axed it in the production meeting.
I keep forgetting, because you don't bring it up. I keep forgetting you're going to do this.
That's why it's
you didn't even talk about this before when we were like, all right, you're going to take this particular one. You like do this at the end. Like you didn't even bring it up. I keep forgetting that you do this.
That's why it's called Surprise JT. So, JT, do you know who? And we're going to talk about Tate Martell in the Hurricanes quarterback situation and their announcement in our next episode with our college football preview show. So stay tuned for that. But a little sneak peek here. JT, do you know who Tate Martell is dating?
I don't know her name, but she's some Instagram model in Miami because I remember when he first got here, they instantly got together, and I was like, there's the end of his career.
So he is dating, yes, he is dating an Instagram model with like over 1 million followers.
Who lives with her mom.
Her name is Kiki Passo.
That's who it is, Kiki Passo, yes.
So she's also part of, I don't know if you know who this is, but Dan Bazilian's. Am I saying that last name right?
I don't know.
Bilzerians. I think I am. Dan Bilzerians. No, Bilzerians Ignite team. So she's part of that. I'm not sure. I thought I'd throw that in there. Make
I
me
feel
sound
like you
smart.
Should know what that is. Like they could be drug dealers, they could be porn stars. We don't know what that is. Like you should know who it is before you throw it out there.
I don't know who that is. But I know who he is. He's like this billionaire. Guy, go look him up on social media, on Instagram.
Sounds like an escort.
He's always just partying. It's crazy. He's always just partying.
But he's always been like that. But, yes, I did know he was dating an Instagram model.
No, I'm not talking about Tate Martell. I'm talking about the billionaire Dan Bilzerian. Bilzerian. I can't even say his name.
Well, we'll hit him up and we'll see what he does.
Maybe he'll come on the show. Not.
Yeah.
All right. Floyd Money Mayweather and Pacquiao have traded
–
yeah, right. Have traded social media jabs. JT, would you want to see a second fight between them?
Hell no, because Floyd robbed boxing of one of the greatest matches of all time just to protect his legacy. He should have fought Pacquiao in their prime. Pacquiao would have beat him. I don't want to see these old dudes fight. I'd rather see him fight McGregor again.
Okay. I wouldn't want him see him fight McGregor either. So I don't want to see either one of those fights anymore. Next one, JT, the Fortnite World Cup. You know what Fortnite is?
My boy got $3 million. Saw that.
So, I don't know if I'm saying their names right. Nirox and Aqua took home $1.5 million each for winning the Duos title. JT, will you encourage your kid to play a lot of video games?
I'll encourage my kid to do whatever makes them happy. If they want to play sports, I'll push them to play sports. If they want to play video games, there's a future in that, because if you're interested in video games, you can do programming, a whole bunch of other things. So whatever they want to do, I'm going to push them to do and just encourage them.
Oh, man. Such a great goal. That's why people love JT right there. That is why people – that's what makes the show. So.
Well, that's me. He has a mother, too. So she's going to be like, look, he's playing baseball. If you do anything other than baseball, I don't give a damn. Go talk to your father. So. That's half of the situation.
I know why you're saying that, because you love to play video games.
I like to play one video game.
Which one? Let's
college
say
football. They need to bring it back.
There you go. I know you wanted to throw that in there. All right. Next one. Two more. Marshawn Lynch ran a football camp back in July and he had a football camp mom confront him about the language he used to her child at the camp. Man, these are young kids. These are young kids. These are elementary kids.
You're not going to tell Beast Mode nothing. And second of all, it's football. You want, like, I wish I had a camcorder like when I was playing Little League football. Like some of the shit that people would say, the coach would say to me while my parents were there. Like I remember the first time I got cursed at, I was what, 8.
But bro,
I looked at my dad and my dad was like, "You heard what he said?"
But bro, this is a football camp that they paid for and these were like elementary kids. So my question to you is, now that you've thrown your opinion out there, would you even have more respect for your wife if she did that, if she confronted Marshawn Lynch?
Hell no. I'd be like, sit, like LeBron told his mom, sit your ass down.
Whoa. You better make sure Nicole don't listen to this episode.
Nicole's not going to give a damn about Marshawn Lynch cussing at my kid.
And last one. So Clemson self-reported an NCAA violation because they used confetti inappropriately. JT, are some of these NCAA rules ridiculous or what?
The NCAA is ridiculous.
should Clemson have to forfeit their national title because of that?
Hell yeah. Well, no, actually, no. I don't want them to forfeit the title because it would go to Bama, which is worse. So I don't want to give Nick Saban any more credit than he already has. But no, this is ridiculous. They shouldn't have to forfeit their title.
All right. So – JT, great episode. Again, a reminder to the fans, our next episode will be a college football preview show. Stay tuned for that. We'll give some predictions as far as Heisman's, playoff predictions, among other topics. What you got,
and we'll
JT?
We'll have some special guests in the building.
Yes, sir. That is right. I almost forgot. That's why we keep you on the show. So.
I'm Rich Paul.
You're the brains behind the operation.
No college degree, but booking all the talent.
We both have college degrees. So, again, great show, JT. To our fans and listeners out there, thank you for listening to another episode of JT on the Don. Remember to follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at JT and the Don. And please subscribe to us on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. And if you like what we do, please give us a 5-star review.
If you don't like what we do, give us a 5-star review.
That would be much appreciated. All right, JT, till the next episode. See ya.
Peace.